All right, hello everybody. We appreciate you coming out this evening, coming back from this morning. And as Kevin mentioned, I actually do have a lot of helpers this evening, so looking forward to hearing from each one of you. Before we get started on that, I'd like to just read one verse, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." You know, we are very blessed to have ready access to God's word. And what I'd like to do this evening, or what we're planning to do this evening, is hear from nine different guys a verse, or maybe a couple of verses, that are very meaningful to them, or maybe even their favorite verse. And I think the word of God obviously is valuable, and this is one way that we can celebrate it and share with each other the components of it that are meaningful to us. So just so y'all know where we're headed, we're gonna hear from Caleb, Isaac, Nick, Jeff, Jacob, Ben Henderson, Gene Vega, Cameron, and then Mark Grassmeyer. So I really appreciate each of you guys being willing to share this evening. What we'll do, we'll just all come up here to this spot, make sure this microphone is squarely in front of you so we can all hear. You don't need to wait on me in between. We'll let Caleb go ahead and start, and then when he's done, Isaac, you can come on up and so forth. All right, Caleb, I'll turn it over to you.
So this evening, Josh asked us to share a verse that was meaningful to each one of us, as he said, and the verse I've chosen to explain why it's meaningful to me tonight is Genesis 1:1, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." This verse, it's a verse we all generally know, generally speaking, we all know the creation story. And for me, it sums up the first two chapters of Genesis, just the fact that we see God creating everything we know in the heavens and on the earth. Everything we see out in the stars and the universe is just incredible. And so for me, it just shows God's amazing power and is just incredible when you think about all of his amazing creation. And so that has always meant a lot to me from that standpoint of it. Also, Josh actually kind of alluded to this morning in his message about God's the fact that he has created everything, that it does put value on it. It puts value on me. It puts value on everybody here and everyone in the world, and even the world itself. Again, if you and I make something, I think we would say we tend to you want to take care of that. It's special to us. It means something to us. And so, I've always thought that the fact that God created it, that wow, that has some importance to God, and He proves that throughout the rest of the Bible. And so that's just always spoken to me. And also, I'm reminded of, I guess, the verse in creation quite often. We all live in the same world. We all see his creation around us. And so that probably every time, leastwise, I see something amazing and beautiful around us or intricately made, I think, wow, God created that. God's responsible for that. So that's why I, chose to say this verse, because that's why it's important to me. So, thank
How's everyone doing tonight? Good. All right, well, tonight I would like to share a verse that every time I hear it, it makes me like think and just like kind of feel really humble and just be in awe. And especially the last five words of this verse. And it's found in Genesis 1:16. Kind of goes along with what Caleb was just saying. But I'll read the verse and just pay attention to the ending of this verse. Genesis 1:16. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, when you start thinking about that, he made the stars also, it gives us a glimpse of just how great and how powerful our God is. Now, I'm a facts guy, and I'm a big visual guy, and I like to learn crazy facts about stuff, and I like to see like comparisons of things. So tonight, we're going to go over two stars that God made. So the first star, everybody should know well, and that's our sun. And our sun is 93 million miles away from Earth. And the sun is so big that you could fit 1.3 million Earths inside of the sun. So I'll give you guys a small visual of what that would look like. Now, the scales that I had aren't like accurate at all, but they're pretty close. So I have a dried up pea, which will represent Earth. And then Nick has the basketball, which will represent our sun. So, as you can see, that's just crazy how big our sun is. 1.3 million Earths can fit inside our sun. So, thanks, bud. And then, after that, our second star that we're going to talk about, learning about it, and looking it up, I still can't like wrap my head around how like massive this star is. The second star is called Stevenson 2-18, and it's found ironically in the Stevenson star cluster, some 20,000 light years away from Earth. Stevenson 2-18 is so massive, you could put 10 billion of our suns inside of that star. And to give you a visual of what that would look like, I have a sesame seed glued to this piece of paper, which representing our sun. And I have Ben holding Stevenson. It's a rough scale, that's actually not. I looked it up, they said to put it in a bigger perspective, you would have to draw a 15-foot circle and then have the same sesame seed would properly represent the size. So that gives you a rough estimate of just how big that star is. So my thought was, that same God who made those absolutely massive stars, and massive isn't even a proper word to describe these stars, that same God sent his son to die on the cross to pay for all of our sins so that we could have a relationship with him and that we could know him. So I hope by reading that verse, Genesis 1:16, that I gave you guys a glimpse of just how awesome and amazing our God is, and yet he still wants a personal relationship with you and me. So, thank you guys for listening.
So tonight, my verse is going to be Deuteronomy 31:6. And to give some context to the verse, in this time, Moses is passing down his commandment, his authority to Joshua, because they're about to cross over the Jordan, and Moses is forbidden to go into the promised land. But what he has to say to Joshua, and this is the verse that I find encouraging, is, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." And for me, it's helped me through many stages of life. Going through high school, helped me during when I would play sports, just to, you know, keep going when you're tired, whether it be physically or mentally. It helped me get through college when I would do, you know, classes that I didn't want to do, or just making the drive and just the daily grind of life. Just kept me going when I didn't think I could. Even though I see this verse as very encouraging to me, I also see it as a commandment. In Joshua 1, verse 9, God is talking to Joshua and giving him charge, and he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Notice it says, "The Lord God is with you wherever you go." That's a very encouraging verse right there that keeps me going when I feel like I can't. And also notice it says, "Will not fail you or forsake you." In today's world, we're not perfect, and people can fail you, and people can forsake you and leave you, but one thing that's comforting is God will never leave you, and God is perfect and will never fail you. But that's all I have. Thank you.
Evening. Josh asked me to speak a couple weeks ago. There's one verse in my mind that's been going over and over and over for probably the past year. Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 22. We'll start in verse 2. "And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him I will trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." I think of the rock, I think of it solid. I think it builds walls for a fortress. It's large, it has clefts, and it's unmovable. That rock builds fortresses. It's a hiding place. It's a safe place. It's a secure place. And to me, it's a quiet place. And of course, he is our deliverer. He delivers us from our sins. He delivers us from hell, dangers, our enemies, and evil. Psalm 18:2 Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. That was one that stuck to me, my high tower, because he takes me away from all of what's around me in this world, and he brings me to his high tower, that hiding place where I can be alone with the Lord, and everything else disappears. Jeremiah 16:19, O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of my affliction. Final one, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. And he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Just a near and dear hymn that I like to sing, and it kind of tied in with this. And I'm just going to read the first stanza here, 148, Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. What a wonderful Savior we have, no matter what we're going through in life. This speaks to all of us, young children, adults. You're going to go through different stages in life, but we know we have our rock, our fortress, and Almighty, our deliverer. Praise his name.
Good evening. I appreciate this challenge, but does it make you nervous? The verse I went with is it's a pretty well-known verse. It's you can see it hung in a lot of houses. But to start off, when I was younger, I was unofficially diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, by basically anybody I came in contact with. I was from wall to wall, just going at the speed of sound. But if my body was going at the speed of sound, my mind was probably going Mach 3. But over the years, I think the Lord has helped me calm down and really concentrate my energy, but probably a little too much. I tend to get carried away in what I'm working on, and I want to finish that and finish what I started. But I picked Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And to focus on the first 8 words, I can see a lot of you counting. be still and know that I am God. I think it's more than just a physical stillness. It's a mental and emotional stillness. It's a spiritual stillness. How many of us have the tendency to overthink things? I know I do. I get carried away in about any thought, daydreaming about projects on the house, overthinking a mechanical malfunction and a piece of machinery at work, overcomplicating a simple disagreement with a family member or my wife. But you can control your body functions and you can control your thoughts, but what happens when things happen that you can't control? And this is where I believe your spiritual stillness comes in. Lost my spot. Your spiritual is your first line of defense. I believe it's the most important. When I was 7, my life was kind of turned upside down. In a span of 9 months, I was in a new school, in a new home, with a new family. Those are things that a 7-year-old doesn't really know how to handle too well. And you tend to turn to things like anger and confusion and anxiousness. You don't know how to take it, but over time, the Lord can heal any wound. And I think he really helps you quiet your heart and allows, if you allow his work to be done, then he can handle all the traumatic events that you might face in your life. And in this, he's saying that any broken spirit can be healed. Be still. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted among the earth. I believe this is God telling you where he belongs in your life. It's been stated throughout the Bible in Deuteronomy 4:24 that God is a consuming fire, and he's a jealous God. He knows where he belongs in your life. We often place things in line in front of God in our lives and place ourselves in front of God in other people's lives. We're too busy exalting ourselves in everyday life that we don't take the time to exalt God. God knows this, and God knows where he belongs. And this is going to sound blunt, but God doesn't really need us. He wants us, and he loves us, but he doesn't need us. Especially to tell him where he does or doesn't go in order in our lives. And what's important to remember is that he's bigger than you, he's stronger than you, and he's smarter than you. And this is written throughout the Bible, and yet, sorry. Oh, the last thing is, this is written as though it seems like it's still going to happen. That he will be exalted among the nations, and he will be exalted among the earth. And maybe that's because it's in Psalms, and this is before Christ's coming. But I believe that if there was an always tense, that this would be used here. Because I feel like it's a declaration. And this is the perfect verse to remind me of that. So, thank you.
So my verse is Psalms 139:13-16. Isaac and Caleb spoke about creation from Genesis. My verse is also about creation. I grew up with songs by Steve Green. I don't know if anyone else knows about them, but Steve Green made a song about this verse. I'll read it for you. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So I like this verse because it sort of tells us we are all made according to God's specific design. According to scientists, there probably have been about 107 billion people on Earth in all, just roughly. And believe it or not, no two people have ever been the same. No two fingerprints, no fingerprints of two people have ever been the same. Retinal scans, I don't know if anybody knows retinal scans. No two people ever have had the same retinal pattern. I find that pretty crazy. 107 billion people have never been made the same. Just goes to show God's imagination. God made us in the image of himself. I think that means we're special compared to all his other creations. God made us unique, right down to the little ridges on our finger. So God could give us any sort of attribute. He could have given us hooves, he could have given us horns, yet he decided to make us in his image, apart from any other creature on earth. One part of the verse that struck me, you saw my unformed body, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You know, if God could have seen every day of my life before I was made, everything that I would have done against him, every mistake I would have made, and yet he still decided to make me, I think that means I mean a lot to him. So I think that's a good feeling. The one takeaway I have from this verse is God doesn't mess up. There are a lot of imperfections in all of us, and yet God thought we were worth it. So, thank you.
All right, good evening. So Josh came to me and he says, or I got a text and it said he wanted to have a favorite verse. And there are lots of favorite verses. It's hard to like come down to one. And I love stories. I love hearing stories. I love telling stories. I love Bible stories especially. And as a Sunday school teacher, you get to go through a lot of the stories, and so that makes it even more fun. But one of my favorite stories is, and I just think it's the best, is when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt. And that story is just over the top to me. And so that's where I get my verse from. Basically what was happening, and we all probably know the story, but I'll give you a quick Gene Vega overview. So the Israelites are, the Egyptians have been plagued, and Moses and his brother are coming in, and they're giving him all the plagues, and Pharaoh just won't let his people go. And God says he hardened his heart. And it keeps going until finally they went through all the 10 plagues, but the final plague was the plague of death when all the firstborn were dead. And Pharaoh had enough, and he said, let them go. And so the Israelites take off, and they're on their way. And the first time you've ever heard this story, or I can remember when I heard it as a little boy, the teacher I had was very enthusiastic, and he said, there you go, they were leaving, and on one side was the rocks, the mountains, and behind them was the army, was Pharaoh had changed his heart again, he hardened his heart, and he wanted to go after the Israelite people, and on the other side was another mountain, and in front of them was the Red Sea. And behind them was the army coming to get them. And the people are starting to panic. I mean, I would be panicked, and I can imagine them pacing and walking and fretting and just being afraid. But in chapter 14 and in verse 13, God gives Moses these words. And it said, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And so that verse, it has always been one of my favorite verses. And it's a hard thing to do. Better look at my notes so I don't miss anything. So fear, the first thing is fear not. That's a hard thing to do. You know, in tough times, it's hard to trust in the Lord. The last thing you want to do is, it's not natural for us not to fear. But he was telling them to fear not. And like I said, they were pacing, their minds were racing. I'm sure they were thinking, this is it tonight, it's over, we're done. And so the first thing was fear not. Then the next thing was stand still. Again, something very hard to do, to stand still. When you know that something's wrong, or somebody's coming to get you, you're not going to stand still. Most men, the first thing I tend to resort to my fist or some kind of something, because you're not going to just stand still and take it. But the Lord asks us to stand still, not to fight, not to let him handle the fight. For me personally, that's hard to do. And then the Lord, Moses told the people to see the salvation of the Lord. He basically was saying, get out of the way. This is what applies to me, is get out of the way of the Lord. Let him do the work. Let him show us the salvation. And by salvation, obviously there's salvation of our heart, but the rescue. He was going to rescue the people. So, and then another thing that he said was, which the Lord will show you today. He didn't let the Israelites wait for a while. He didn't let them, well, let's think about this, or no, the Lord was prompt. He and always is prompt and knows what's the proper time to do something. And so, you know, I was thinking 2020 for a lot of us was quite a year. And everybody here, I'm sure, you know, thinks of it. There was the coronavirus. There was the presidential elections that just kind of was a nightmare, very discouraging, unprofessional, or, you know, just terrible. And I feel like the coronavirus basically turned everybody's life upside down. I can remember seeing the reports where it started, you got to see the coronaviruses in Washington. They had the little red dots in the state of Washington, and then they had the little red dots in New York, and then the red dots doubled, and then the red dots tripled, and then they're quadrupled, and you start to think, wow, this thing is pretty serious. It's really, this is it. So you see the coronavirus, we saw it spreading. We saw the people were starting to isolate. They would get sick, and then they would isolate these people, trying to shut it down. It was spreading fast, and places were quarantining. People then were told to start wearing masks, something that none of us knew. I mean, it was just something all new. Maybe freedoms that we felt were applied to us that we didn't need, or maybe some people felt that we needed them. Hospitals were being overflowed with the sick. There was ventilators. Remember, they were short on ventilators, and even Ford, the motor company, started making ventilators. People were told to stay home. Businesses were forced to shut down. Supplies became in shortage. Everybody remembers toilet paper was getting to be difficult to find. And then not to mention the elections again. There was a divided country in all of our elections. There were ideas out there through the election that contradict the Christian ideas. I feel that are directly against. And so I have to admit that I would watch this. I would watch TV. I would read Google. And I would become very concerned. I would actually, my mind would focus on this. And I start to worry. And the things I would worry about, you don't worry about yourself as much, but you love your children. And you don't want to see your kids get sick. You don't want to see your wife get sick. Your family, your loved ones, grandma, you don't want her to get sick. She's older. You know, you worry. Would I be able to provide? Is it going to get so bad that, you know, they're shutting businesses down? What if Biden becomes president? What's going to happen? You know, my son and I, we both work in the public, and we go to 4 to 5 houses a day, each of us. Surely one of us is going to get sick. And you start to think, and you stop to depend on the Lord. Both of my daughters work in healthcare. One of them actually works on the coronavirus floor, the hospital floor. Do I send the employees that I have, do I send them to work knowing that I'm sending them into homes that could have virus, you know, and you feel bad. Chloe is at school, She's learning to be a nurse, but she's not. She's learning from a computer, and she's, you know, we paid for a college education, not a stay-at-home course. You know, I mean, it was very just different. But the Lord reminded me of this verse. The Lord reminded me to fear not. I had to stop fearing, and I had to learn to trust the Lord. The other thing it was, I had to stand still. And when I mean stand still, it means I had to turn the TV off. You know, I had, because running that TV keeps my mind moving, keeps me moving, and I had to turn the TV off. And maybe you don't, but for me, I had to do that because the Lord was teaching me to stand still. I had to turn off Google. You know, you come home, and I like reading and finding information. I would turn Google on and see what's the latest. But it can be very depressing. It knocks your heart down. It knocks your countenance down because you're focusing on the world, and you've lost your touch with the Lord. And then, basically, I had to tune into the Lord. I had to stop and take a moment, read and think, and just kind of get back in tune with the Lord. Then, the one of the verses, it says that, see the salvation of the Lord. So the Lord reminded me of my personal salvation, and because of my salvation, I should have no fear, because I'm His, and He's going to take care of me. He's my Heavenly Father. I also had to see how He was going to protect us, my family, our chapel family, different things, and I would get to see the salvation of the Lord, how He would take care of us, and just, it's hard to just sit back and watch the Lord and show the salvation of the Lord. So, some things that showed me His salvation, and when I say salvation, it's not always going to, like, we all want to be saved, but all, you know, where we come with a personal relationship with the Lord, but more maybe a rescue. And so my daughter Katie, she worked on the floor. I prayed for her. I was so worried she was going to get sick. Sure enough, she gets sick. And there you go, you get really nervous. Dads always do for their kids. And she says, I really didn't even know I was sick. It was not a big deal, Dad. And that's a salvation. That's a picture of the Lord rescuing me. My daughter Abby and Caleb, I was worried for Caleb. Married to Abby, my daughter, and this is violation of HIPAA rules. I learned all this stuff from the nurses, but he has diabetes, or one, I think it is, and if you get coronavirus and you have that, it's supposed to be terrible. It's a bad thing. Caleb and Abby both got the coronavirus, but walked away, you know, virtually. I mean, it was kind of rough when they went through it, but then they got through, and the Lord got them through that. I thought that my business was going to suffer greatly because they were shutting businesses down. I actually wrote the governor and said, am I allowed to be in, you know, to operate a business? Because people were calling us because your sewer still backs up, your house is still cold, you still need air conditioning. But it was kind of like, do you send your employees out? And I felt guilty sending them somewhere and putting them at harm's risk just to satisfy customers and to continue, you know, our livelihood. And I prayed hard about it and just asked the Lord. But when I wrote the letter, and I got a letter back from the governor, and he said, press on, keep going and work, and we need essential workers to keep on doing that thing. And so I did, and the Lord actually blessed our company. We had an unbelievable year. It was a very good year, despite of, I talked to many others that didn't, and I just feel like the Lord blessed me greatly. Our chapel, you know, we, the deacons and elders, and you know, we pray for each one of the chapel people here, and one of the concerns we had was, what's going to happen with the meeting? Do we close the meeting up? You know, and there was so much talk and this and that, and we prayed hard and tried to make decisions that we felt were honoring to God, and yet honoring to the rules of our nation. And you know, it's hard. Ultimately, the elders make the decision, but we had talked and talked about this, and you know, I thought of it. We've come through this whole thing. It's not over, you know what I mean? But we're both basically almost at the end of the. They're going to tell us to take our mask off now. And but our chapel has been blessed. I mean, when you consider all the people, I mean, some of these places that I've heard of chapels being wiped out, or churches, maybe not so much the chapels, but where the elderly, you know, they lost several members. And honestly, I don't know anybody that died. I don't know. Maybe I'm not up on everyone, but I know there was times that were hard. I know people got sick, and you know, it's not the most pleasant. But as a chapel, we're blessed, and we've seen the salvation of the Lord through this. You know, I mean, we've seen the rescue of the Lord in the chapel. I just feel very blessed. I did want to leave you with some other verses. I'm in the building and plumbing industry, and we get to see a lot of stuff be fabricated and made. And so this verse is always kind of good to me, or means a lot to me. And it's in John 14, and it's 1-3. And it says on verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." There's a lot we could be troubled about, but God's telling us, don't let your heart be troubled. There's no need for it. And God's in control. It says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. So it's just beautiful that he tells us not to be troubled. And it's hard to just let those fears go. But when you do, and you see the hand of the Lord, it's just, you know, it just makes you feel good. Second verse, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And this is where I like to think of it, because I work in mansions. I also work in the worst houses of houses. I mean, but God said he's going to get me one of those mansions, and he's building one and preparing it for me. And maybe I sound greedy or whatever, but I am thrilled that God would make me a mansion. It's unbelievable. And I know what goes into mansions, and I know what goes into big houses. And to think God's been spending a lot of, the Lord Jesus says he went and he's preparing a place. I can't imagine, you know, the plumbing, the heating, the air. I mean, it's probably phenomenal. But he's been working on it a long time, and I can't wait to see it. And he says, if it wasn't true, then I wouldn't have told you this. So he's promising us, or he's also telling us, this is how it's going to be. This isn't some story, but this is how it's going to be. And then he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's not telling me that, hey, you know, if you do a good job, if you work on it. He's saying, I have the salvation of the Lord in my heart. He's making this place for me, and he's coming back to get me. And when he comes back to get me, he's taking me to that home. So no matter what this world brings, it doesn't matter if it's a virus, it doesn't matter if it's sickness, it don't matter if it's bad government, it doesn't matter if the world is turning against the Lord. Jesus said that if I believe in him, that he's made a place for me, and someday he's going to come get me, and I'm going to live with him in this mansion, with his family, with our family, and we're going to live there for eternity. And so I just wanted that to encourage you. It was a kind of a hard year, but when you look at how blessed we are as a chapel and as families, and I'm sure every one of us, I look through, you know, we all have stories of how we got through last year, and it's amazing. But the Lord, we are truly blessed. The Lord loves us, and I'm just thankful for his love.
When I was first asked to share a favorite verse or reference of scripture that has a special place in my heart, Like many of you, like Gene was saying, I could think of several right off the bat. And I was of the mindset that, oh yeah, this is going to be real easy. But the closer to the day that I got, the harder that it became to just pick one. Like with many of you, my favorite verse or reference can change with my current situation or setting in life, which is really the beauty of the word. And that's that no matter what you're going through, whether it's the highs or the lows, if you open your Bible, there's words of encouragement, comfort, conviction, and inspiration. So when I chose my verse, I thought, what could help everyone? What can everyone relate to at this time in life? And that's when I decided, or really I felt led to share 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. These few verses cover really what I feel we can all relate to today. You see, in the last 18 months or so, between COVID-19 and all the funerals we've had to attend and all the other personal things we've had to go through, we've had to endure many more trials, if you will, and struggle than we probably normally would have. And with that, it's easy to become overwhelmed, tired, and scared. But we as believers have hope because of Jesus and his work on the cross. We tend to believe, or at least the worldly view, is that once you become a Christian, you won't have any kind of struggle or hard times. But the scripture is very clear. It's not that we won't have times of trial and tribulation, but that when we do, we can find overwhelming comfort in him because he went through it and he's there with us. But it doesn't stop there. I believe that part of our testimony is the second half of verse 4. I'll read the whole thing. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And that through the comfort we receive, we are to comfort others in need. These last few months have been scary to many out there, even fellow believers. Because we have this comfort through hope in Christ, we are to help others in need. So next time you hear or see someone that's scared and in need, just remember these few verses.
Good evening. When Josh asked me to speak on a verse, normally I work Sunday evening, so I thought, can't. And as soon as he asked me, the verse came right to my mind. And so I checked at work, and we had off tonight. So I thought, oh, great, I can share this verse. And the verse is 1 John 1:5, and it says, "This then is the message we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And this morning when Josh spoke, I was thinking about the verse, and he started speaking about memorials and stones, rainbows, things that were a memorial. And I remember the pastor I used to go to church with, he was big on memorials. And this is what this verse is to me. It's not just a verse, but it's a memorial. Because this verse is actually, when I got saved, Pastor Wahlberg, he was big on try to find a verse of assurance, because there's going to be doubt. Satan's going to try to trip you up, and try to get a verse that's really going to solidify with you your salvation. And this is the verse that I found in 1 John. And I didn't realize at that time the importance of this verse until years later. I was at a men's prayer advance, and I had a half day of prayer, and I was up praying. Is years ago, when I was, ever since I can remember, I always struggle with a nightmare. And it wasn't just a nightmare, but it's an evening mare. It could be a, and what I struggled with was the sense of purpose. Is this real? Am I real? What is my purpose? And it would haunt me. I'd wake up at night, evenings. And I remember Carrie, I think it was when we were dating, she said, Mark, you just need to picture Jesus, because there's a battle going on there. Because at the time, I'm not saved. And so I just thought, I'm just eating the wrong foods. I got to eat, you know, quit eating pickles before bed or something. You know, but in the reality of it was, there was a war because I wasn't saved. And at that time, you know, that battle's going on, and it wasn't until the reality of this comes in, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And what I'm trying to get at is when I was on that prayer advance, it was about 8 years later after I got saved, and the reality of it came in that after that time, I never had that nightmare again after I got saved, because the battle was over. My salvation was solidified. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be trials and tribulations today. Of course there is, as believers, we realize that. But as far as my salvation is in Christ, and it's in the light. The darkness has no effect over me anymore. And we have, in Christ, we have that salvation, but also we have the hope. And to me, that's why this verse is more a memorial than it is just a verse. Thank you.
Well, I don't know how you all feel, but I feel like I got a big, healthy dose of encouragement for the week ahead. So I just want to personally say thank you to each of you who shared this evening. I think the Lord really helped you to share directly from your hearts. I feel like I got to know each one of you a little bit better, and absolutely loved hearing which part of God's word is meaningful to you this evening. So I appreciate you sharing. You know, we normally have a closing hymn, and I was sitting there thinking, well, what hymn is going to encompass all of these thoughts? Because there's a variety, and they're all excellent, and they each kind of stand alone. But what I kept thinking about was number 4 in your green hymnal. So get your green book, and we're going to turn to number 4. And in just a minute, we're going to sing that together as we close. But how great thou art. You know, don't we have an amazing God? And I feel like we were reminded of that this evening from multiple perspectives. We have an amazing God. And we also have a hope for the future. So if you would, just close your eyes, bow with me, I will pray, and then we'll sing this song together as we close. Father, I want to thank you this evening for your word. We're thankful that we have it. We're thankful that you cared to communicate with us to provide it. Father, I just thank you for each of the verses that we've been able to think about tonight. I thank you for each person who shared with us and opened from their hearts, sharing how you're meaningful to them, where you're meeting them, what they're enjoying about you. Father, and thank you for the encouragement from that. I just pray that you will use the time this evening to point us all towards you, draw us closer to you, and help us to celebrate you more as we head into the week ahead. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so number 4 in your green book, let's sing the first verse and the 4th verse. And then when the song finishes, that's all for this evening. So thanks for being here. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How
Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Verse 4.
When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then say,